Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Welcome back to my podcast and YouTube channel. Today, we have two very special guests, and I've known them for, I don't know how long, at least 15 years.
Bob Surratt, right?
2004-3, I think it was. So you do the math, 17. Wow. So if you're from Chicago, you definitely know these guys, but if you're not, you still probably know them. But anyway, Bob Surratt and Marianne Marciano. They're married. They host a radio show together. They used to do the Travel Channel Radio, which is where I met them back in 2004 or three. And I got them on today because I said, hey, let's talk about Chicago. Let's talk about what they're doing. And so these guys are hosts on the morning show on WGN Radio. Marianne, what's your blog? Because you have a great food blog. I get your newsletter every week.
It's called SavvyPlanet.com, but put a dash between Savvy and Planet.
Okay.
So Savvy-Planet.com. Yeah. And I send out recipes to our subscribers every Tuesday at 11 o'clock Central Time. You'll get a new recipe, something that I experimented on with Bob.
Yes. I'm the guinea pig.
And is it free? The newsletter is free, right?
Yeah, it's free. It's completely free. The recipes are free. I'm Cuban, so there's a little bit of a lot of garlic in my recipes.
Fortunately, we both like garlic. There's also a lot of healthy recipes.
And really healthy recipes because I'm really into healthy stuff. And then I also have a store where I sell these really unbelievably popular 16-ounce bottles that people use to spray it. And during the whole pandemic, people were buying them like to make their own disinfectant. And it's been my business.
Well, so, you know what else is on there right now? The bottles that are TSA approved, shall we say, because they're 2-ounce bottles.
We just got those.
Yeah.
So it's a set of 2-ounce bottles, and then you can carry your own like alcohol to spray the seat and the tray table, which you personally have taught us about. The dangers of not doing that.
And is it all natural, or is it garlic, or is it your own secret recipe?
No, it's whatever you want to make. You can just put alcohol in it, your own. We send out a little recipe for a disinfectant.
I see.
But you put they're empty bottles.
Gotcha.
You put whatever you want, and then you just spray your seat, spray the tray table, you know, wipe it down when you're sitting in an airplane.
Gotcha. Well, you know, the TSA, by the way, are now allowing 12 ounces. Of disinfectant. During the pandemic. So
only disinfectant gets to be.
It was sanitizer. Supposed to be sanitizer.
But, wow. 12 ounces.
Yeah.
But you still can't bring a liquid that's not a sanitizer.
You know, that's a good question. I'm not 100% sure on that. But I think it's just hand sanitizer. But I'll
I'm going to have to order 12-ounce bottles from now.
Well, you know, hopefully this pandemic will be over and they will probably cut that, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Chicago's
opening up. We're going to the next phase, so that's good news for everybody.
So did they announce, by the way, which day you will actually open up completely like they did for California, which is June 15th?
They haven't given us a date yet, but it's coming very soon.
I see.
I mean, every day you hear stories about how, you know, like the percentage of people that are allowed in the restaurants is now increased again.
50%.
Now it's 50%. And, you know, and now that the weather's changing, my God, Chicago is such a fun place to be in when the weather is great. And we've had a lot of good days.
And are the restaurants open right now or outdoor dining?
Yeah.
Yes.
Indoor too?
Yes.
Right. 50% capacity.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we've been eating out a lot though. There are so many people I'm just so amazed by how creative the restaurant industry has been and the way that they have put tables and chairs and heaters outside. I mean, it's amazing. It makes you want to support them because you want to support these people who are doing everything possible to, you know, keep their business going during these tough times.
Totally. I mean, so if you drive through the, you know, downtown Chicago, are a lot of businesses shut?
There are some, but as far as the bars and the restaurants, they're open. And we still have some hotels that are closed, but most of the businesses are open now.
And I mean, during the pandemic, like in the middle of it, was it just like a ghost town or was it just like something out of a bomb?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It really was.
And during the height of it, we live in the suburbs. Normally, if there's no traffic, normally 45 minutes from our place to downtown Chicago. During the pandemic, it was like, you know, 18 minutes. But the traffic's coming back now. But you could walk around downtown and very few people were around, and the poor, I mean, the businesses that really suffered and closed and some won't open are the small restaurants and coffee shops that depended on the office workers.
Right. Yeah, that's really too bad. But we were recently downtown and we had a tremendous dinner right on the river, and you can see people. It was a cold day, and people are, it's like people are dying to be outside.
There's a pent up demand. The boats are back. Like the architecture tour, which is a must for anybody, that's running again.
Is there a certain one that you recommend? Because I heard that is the number one tour for Chicago.
That is the number one thing.
The best company is the oldest company, Wendella, W-E-N-D-E-L-L-A, the Wendella Boat Company. They're the best. But there's a lot of them that are good.
Yeah, there's another one that's really good too, which is with the Architectural Foundation, right? Mm-hmm.
It's the Architecture Foundation Tour. But Wendella uses some of those people too.
Yeah, it is really the nicest thing to do. You know, if you're coming to Chicago, I think, and also you don't even have to be cold, because a lot of these boats, like, you could just go inside, you know, if it's one of those cold days. But now we're getting so many nice days that, you know, you're bound to, you know, be lucky.
Definitely. I've never done that tour. I've been on a boat through the river and I love it.
Oh, you got to take the tour because the architecture is so great. We love it when people come to town because we like to go, because you learn something new every time. We've done it dozens of times and it never gets old. Well,
that's awesome.
And you have done it, Johnny. You've done the
not the architectural. I've done like a private tour where it wasn't an extra tour. It was a party on a
through boat. The river,
through the river, and then out to the lake.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's beautiful on a warm day. I mean.
And there are so many restaurants that, I mean, for other people, it isn't a secret, but for me, it's been like a secret discovering that you go into these restaurants and then there's a whole other world in the back of the restaurant because they face the river. And it's like being in two places at once.
Well, they've cleaned up and expanded the Riverwalk. And there are places to eat and drink now along the banks of the Chicago River, where 5-6 years ago there was nothing there, and now and they're still building more. But it is still one of the best kept secrets around here.
So, if you have relatives coming to visit, where would you take them? Where would you recommend people to going to eat? I mean, any specific restaurants?
The best company here is called Let Us Entertain You. Lettuce, like L-A-T-T-U-C-E. They run the best restaurants here by far. And they have all kinds of restaurants. Steak, fish, fancy, not so fancy, fun places. If you just go to their website, I think it's L-E-Y-E.com. Let Us Entertain You, Enterprises.com, L-E-Y-E.com. It's all listed there. They have places outside Chicago too, but most of them are here.
I've heard of them too. Are they the ones that do the like? There's a big what do you call it in one of the department stores? You go to different stations. Is that those guys? I can't remember what it's called.
They did have a place in Water Tower, a food court. It's not open anymore, but yeah, they did have one.
I love that place.
Yeah. I love that place too. Back when there used to be crowded places.
So that was a casualty of the pandemic?
You know, I think they were planning on changing that up even before the pandemic. Okay. But it was a sort of real estate lease issue there. Okay. In the building where Macy's closed.
It's a good
restaurant chain.
I don't know if you've ever heard of RPM, RPM Italian, with Bill Rancic. He's one of the partners, and Juliana, his wife.
Yep.
So they're partners in those are Let Us Entertain You restaurants, and they have RPM, the original one, then RPM Italian. And then they just opened up last year, or right before COVID, they opened up RPM Seafood, which unfortunately they opened it up right when, you know, the pandemic started.
Right.
But we just went last week, and it is like you have never eaten seafood like that. Yeah. I mean, it is just so creative. Yeah, the dishes are so amazing. I mean, it's really
RPM incredible. Seafood, RPM steak, RPM Italian. They're all downtown.
But you know what, Johnny? If you, you know, if you come to Chicago and spend some time here, there's another whole part of Chicago that is not the super popular restaurants that are on the river, and that are in the Loop and in downtown Chicago. There are so many incredible neighborhood restaurants in these neighborhoods, these pockets of Chicago, that it's really sad when tourists come in and they don't even know about that. Because we go a lot to Andersonville.
Yeah, which is a Swedish neighborhood, and there's a German area, and there's a Mexican area, and Italian, and Chinese.
Yeah,
and
I mean, but it's just
all this great ethnic neighborhood.
Really great, great, great food that you can't even describe. Like, I don't even remember the names of some of the restaurants that we've been going to. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are Italian because we love Italian food.
So do but I.
Yeah, I'm sure.
How about the pizza?
Let's go to
pizza.
Oh, yeah. Well,
tell them about pizza.
The secret to pizza here, everybody knows about the deep dish pizza, and Lou Malnati's is famous, and Uno's and Due's downtown. That's where it was invented. But you get in the neighborhoods.
Giordano's,
the stuffed pizza. But you get in the neighborhoods and you get this, what Chicagoans call a tavern style pizza, which is very thin, a little crispy.
Me too.
And for example, on the north side of Chicago, it's a hole in the wall called Marie's Pizza and Liquors. And you walk through the liquor store.
It's a liquor store.
You walk through the liquor store and you get to the restaurant, and the decor hasn't changed since 1958. They used to
and
have
the
a guy.
Singer is the same one from 1958.
Yeah. Interesting entertainment, magicians, and a guy up in the windows flipping around the pizza. So we have a lot of places like that. Not to say we wouldn't like to be in a small villa in Italy on a side of a mountain eating. We like that too.
So do you like deep dish pizza?
I do. I like deep dish and I like thin.
I like thin.
I grew up in Connecticut and right near New York City, and I just...
Oh, so you would fold the pizza up.
Definitely.
Fold it up into a few pieces and then stuff it in
Chicago
your mouth.
Doesn't do that.
No. Nope. And if you're from outside the city, that deep dish, I get it. It's like, what is this? It's kind of like our Italian beef.
It's a pie.
Nobody knows how to eat an Italian beef or what an Italian beef sandwich is except Chicagoans. But so, come here and we'll tell you how.
So, Marianne, you said you're Cuban, but you grew up in Florida, correct?
Yes, I grew up in Florida. But eating Cuban food, like... all the time.
She's a great cook.
I still go to Florida and I cannot get enough of
Cuban food.
Yes.
And so does my son.
Really?
And my wife.
Do you go to Miami?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yep.
Okay. Well,
I go all the time. I used to go every 3 weeks before the pandemic.
I bet you know all about Versailles.
Yes, it's in the airport.
You don't know about the restaurant with Cuban food that we like there now.
Yeah, it's called Havana Harry's. You must go. Okay, it's not fancy at all. Okay, so it's like,
I might have been. Did they have like an outdoor part too?
Now they do. They
with didn't like bright umbrellas and things like that?
I don't think they did before the pandemic.
During the pandemic, they started putting a few little tables.
The tourists go to Versailles for Cuban food. The locals go to Havana Harry's.
Well, Versailles used to be the local place for Cuban food, but it became this place where if there was any news,
it's political. It's
from around the world. Exactly. Yes. And especially if it was Cuba related, everybody would meet there. You would just go there and live trucks from all the TV stations would be parked outside. And, they would do that. By the way, before Fidel Castro died, I must have covered that as a reporter a dozen times when there was a rumor that Fidel Castro is dead, and all the live trucks would be there. All the big honchos from town would be there. Everybody would gather at Versailles as if that was like the capital or something, and discuss what had happened. But this other place has better food. It's called Havana Harry's, and it is like the food is outstanding. That place is a gold mine. I wish that we had been able to partner up with them or something. It's a gold mine.
It's always unbelievable.
Well, how about LA? Do you ever go to Cuban food when you come to Los Angeles? Because there is a Versailles.
There is a Versailles, but it's not related. I've eaten there.
Yeah.
You know what, Johnny? I'll tell you something. If you do like Cuban food, I'm going to tell you how you can tell if it's a great Cuban restaurant or not.
Okay. Yellow rice?
No. Order a croqueta.
Croqueta. Okay.
Yeah. And that's like a deep fried thing, cylindrical shaped thing. Yeah. And it's got ham and bechamel sauce.
Yeah. It's kind of like you judge a Chinese restaurant by the egg roll. You know?
You judge. Yeah. So at the Versailles in LA, we had croquetas. Okay. And, you know, they just didn't cut it.
Okay. Well, and how about New York City? There's like a chain of them called Sophie's.
We went to a fancy one there, didn't we?
Yeah. Which ones are you thinking of?
The Sophie's.
Sophia's. I have not been there.
There's like at least seven of them. And my son loves the rice and beans. So we just go there all the time and grab it.
Isn't there one called Victor's?
I don't think I've been to that one.
And that guy, that famous chef, his name was David Rodriguez. He began this whole like a Cuban food, but like gourmet Cuban food movement. And I have his cookbooks. I mean, like really delicious stuff.
Okay, really good. So here's the deal on the restaurants. Okay, so like LA, for example. So I like Art's Deli in Studio City, Cantor's. The Apple Pan, these restaurants that have been around for at least 150 years. And Marianne likes the eclectic, cool, hip spots that are slightly newer.
Food trucks like Koji.
I do like the food trucks in LA. Have you eaten a lot there? Definitely. Yeah. I mean, like,
They have a lot of them and they're good.
Yeah. And before the pandemic, every, I think it's first Friday night, in Venice Beach, they have all the food trucks. There's like 100 of them lined up.
We have to do that.
We're going to do that when we're there this summer.
Yeah. Well, hopefully everything will be back to normal and you can do that. So by the way, Bob, are you from Chicago?
Yeah, I grew up on the north side of Chicago. Been lucky enough to work in TV and radio here instead of bouncing around the country as most people have to do. So it's been.
So how'd you guys meet? If you were a reporter in Miami? Did you move to
Chicago? I was a reporter in Miami, and then I became an anchor for a morning show in Miami. And that's what I did, a TV show, a morning show, you know, on TV. And I worked with my first Bob there. But I came to Chicago, and I was eventually paired up with Bob, and we really literally met on the set.
Yeah, we did a show for the local Fox television station here, a morning show from 7 to 9 a.m. 5 days a week. It was called Fox Thing in the Morning.
For 7 years.
And that's how we met.
And during that time, we hated each other. Maybe not hated each other, but didn't like each other. And then became friends, and then our friendship turned into love, and then we got married, and we had a baby together, and Bob moved into a ready-made family because I already had two kids. So we raised three kids together.
Amazing.
And it was fun.
And so how was it moving from Miami to Chicago? I mean, that had to be culture shock. Especially weather-wise.
You know what happens, Johnny? I don't know. You've been in Miami now enough to probably get this, but when you live in Miami and you never leave Miami, you really truly believe that Miami is the center of the universe. You really, because of the way that news is covered, because of the influx of people from so many places, because of the huge Cuban population that is. It used to be, I don't know that it is so much now, but it used to be so hyper-focused on Cuba news. Everything was about that. So when I left Miami 28 years ago or so, something like that, and I came to Chicago, it was truly a culture shock because I realized, oh my God, like here I am working in news and there is other news. there is news that is not, you know, what happened with Fidel Castro. And so it was really a culture shock. And weather-wise, I moved here in May. So the first, you know, it was already nice weather.
Perfect.
So my first winter here, I remember that I was driving my car because I was working at the station and winter is, you know, starts and it's dark and gray and you know, whatever, and snowing all the time. The first time that I saw that I experienced the snow, I thought I was like on Jupiter or something. It did not seem like I was even anywhere. But I remember counting the days And it was something like 28 days. I was leaving work, and it was the 28th day where I had not seen the sun. And this is after being in Miami.
Wow.
And I was driving on Lakeshore Drive, and the sun comes out, and I pulled over and I got out of the car. And I just went like that. Yeah. I could not believe the sun was
Here's how Marianne survives the winter. And since I grew up here, you know, I'll go out in the morning to get a newspaper or something when it's zero. I don't even have my shoes on. I'm used to this. But here's how Marianne survives. She doesn't even need a coat in Chicago in the winter, because I drive her door to door everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I'll go park the car and walk.
That's our deal. That's why I still live here.
It's funny because my wife's from Toronto. And I was like, listen, you're going to go back there. And she's like, I miss the cold. I'm like, yeah.
She does?
She misses it. I mean, and she misses dressing up because she can't wear her boots.
Yeah. Right.
Big coats. And, you know, you don't really get dressed up here a lot.
Exactly.
Especially when you're down by the beach. It's real casual.
Yes, I love that, though.
Me too. I mean, I'm like, listen, I grew up in Connecticut. I know what it's like to be in the cold.
Do you miss the seasons? You know,
fortunately, I get to travel a lot. So I love just visiting, going for a couple days or a week max. And then I'm like, I'm ready to go home, ready to go to the beach. And that's what.
Do you give her a little bit of that winter somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Before the pandemic, we would go to Toronto. You know, we'd go for every Christmas. Then we go to Hawaii for New Year's.
We have
it pretty good, or we had it pretty good. Well, hopefully we'll go back to that. But yeah, we usually spend the holidays that way, and then we go to Toronto at least 4 times a year.
We were in Toronto for just a little bit. We were in Montreal a little more and loved it.
Okay, so Johnny, this is my dream. This is my wish. Okay, so you're going to help us do this. Hopefully, I want to start a tradition in our family where we spend New Year's Eve in Hawaii.
That's what we do.
What? Where do we go? How do we do it? How do we afford it? Well, you know, we have kids.
It's crazy expensive.
Adult kids.
So I started doing it because a hotel company, or actually, I was a brand ambassador for American Express Starwood card, and so they would actually put it in my contract. I had to go during a holiday week to one of their properties, and I always choose Hawaii. But because of that, I learned that, you know what, the most affordable way to do Hawaii, and we started doing it after they stopped that brand ambassador program, use your miles and points. So I would save up all my Starwood points, now Marriott points, and I would book, and you book the hotels like in February. Yeah, you got to book them
so
far in advance.
It's too late already?
Well, now, who knows right now? I haven't looked. But it's expensive. I mean, it is expensive and it's crowded, but I love it. It's just such a great way to ring in the new year.
Where do you go? Which island?
Well, we always go to Oahu, but then we usually go to another island as well. So we usually go to Maui or Kauai or Lanai if we're really lucky. But because we write about it, a lot of times the hotels will hook us up.
Yeah.
And we always talk about this, full disclosure, that it was sponsored, but
sure.
Yeah.
But the only way the hotels will hook you up is if it's after the first week of New Year's, because, you know, you have, they don't give any freebies out during that week before.
So you pay for your New Year's Eve and all that stuff, and then you can maybe do like
around January 5th or 7th, and they'll, you know, the people start going back to the mainland. Mm-hmm. And then
what a great thing. And for people who don't have those hookups, I mean, still, it's what a wise thing to do is to use miles and points.
Yep.
Miles and points. Yeah,
for sure. So, and you usually find cheap tickets, by the way. I would buy my flights from Toronto and stop in LA. I try to get the longest layovers possible, which is usually like 18 hours. So we can change our clothes and the flights were cheaper from Toronto than they were from LA. And I would buy first class. I would buy first class for like $500 from Toronto to LA to Hawaii.
That is unbelievable. Okay. So are those rates still available? I wonder.
You know, I haven't looked recently, but that is one of the tricks on how to,
I'm going to look into that. But what I want to know is, are you training your two beautiful little children to travel first class all the time? Because you know, once you go there, you can't go back.
Once you go up front, you can't go in the back. I mean, once you go, so My daughter has never been on a plane. Oh. And she's 21 months. Jack has been on 70.
70?
Well, yeah.
Before the pandemic.
Before the pandemic. So my wife and my son have not been on a plane in 2 years.
Okay.
She was pregnant with my daughter.
Right.
And so they have not been on a plane.
Okay. But back to my original question. Are you training
them? Am I interviewing you?
First class? training them, and how are you going to go back?
Well, you know, we don't always fly first class. So what we normally do is I would buy the bulkhead. I wouldn't book the flight unless the bulkhead was available.
Yeah, that's a great.
And because I have elite status on American, I get the bulkhead free, or I get the premium main cabin select free, and you get free checked bags.
Yeah,
and priority. We have all the lounge access with the different credit cards. But you know, honestly, I always look at what kind of plane they're flying. I try to get wide bodies. And
yes,
by the way, right now one of the best deals in town right now is between LA and Miami. In Miami and New York. On American Airlines 777s, business class, lie flat seat, 17,500 miles each way. Sometimes 20,000 miles, business class.
Wow.
That's great. I love that.
I'm
going to
check that out.
I love that
the
plane.
777, well, especially the 777-300. Their 777-300 is the real deal. The 200 is still a good plane, but you know, I just, especially during a pandemic, you want the lie flat seats.
We were on that. We were on the 777, the big one, the 300, did you say?
And they're both about the same size. It's just the 300's newer.
Yeah,
this is perfect because our family is in Miami, and then our kids live in LA. So
jump on it. And right now I've been pricing this out every day. Actually, I'm going to do it right when I get off the phone with you. I have a reminder email in my inbox because I'm bringing my dad out. I'm going to go surprise him next week. For the first time, I haven't seen him in 350 days, 450 days.
I've seen your posts, your Facebook.
I'm going to surprise him, and then I'm going to say, listen, I'm bringing you out to California so you can see your grandkids, because my wife does not want to bring my kids on a plane yet. And I have all the flights reserved right now. They're 20,000 each way.
20,000 miles each way. Okay.
Business class.
That's incredible. I'm going to look at that as soon as we get off. But
you can also fly, by the way, you can go LA to New York via Miami, 777s both way for 26,000 miles.
That is just incredible. Okay. Yeah. And then the card, what's the best card for us to all have so that we can get all those benefits?
Well, it all depends on which route you take, what you're spending like. But
a lot of Chicago, Miami, Chicago.
Credit
LA.
Card.
I think that's what he said. But I think the best credit card is usually Chase, one of the Chase cards. I have Chase Sapphire Preferred. I have
Sapphire,
Amex Platinum, so I can get the Centurion Lounge. I had the American Airlines City card, so I can get into the lounge.
Right.
But I would spend $2,000 a year just in credit card fees. But the secret to getting a credit card, by the way, is you have to pay it off every month in full. Otherwise, you do not get an airline rewards card or any kind of travel rewards card.
Right.
But if you do get one, please go to johnnyjet.com because I...
Yeah, you have links. You have links on it. Yeah. And then that is great. Everybody wins. I'm going to do that.
Totally. So, I mean, you want a card like that where you can transfer it. But the Chase Sapphire doesn't transfer to American.
Yeah, I have a Chase, and I noticed that too.
Yeah, we usually fly from Chicago on American. It works out.
American
because we're going
is
to LA
hub.
Because we're going to LA or Miami. So.
And the other secret, by the way, for cheap flights to Miami and to get upgraded is to fly when the business travelers are not, because you can't compete. Even someone like me who flies 100,000 miles a year on American, I would not be able to get upgraded on a Miami LA flight or a New York LA flight unless I flew on a Saturday night.
Saturday
early morning, because the business travelers, you know, they don't pay for their tickets, and there's no way they're going to be flying on a Saturday because they want to be home. They're usually flying.
I wonder. We just got great deals to Miami on Saturdays.
Well,
from Saturday to Saturday,
the business travel's way down, isn't it?
Totally. I mean, business travel is getting crushed right now. Yeah. But they expect it to come back in September. And the reason why American, by the way, is flying all these big 777s between Miami and LA and New York, because the business travel's down and international travel's down. So
they're using their plane.
They need to use them.
Yeah. Wow. so many great tips. I mean, I was saying to you, you know, right before we started this, you know, this podcast, I was saying to you that I love, like, yours is one of the few blogs where when I see it coming in, I actually open it.
That's great.
And I read the articles.
Well, so. Thank you.
It's interesting. You always have great stories.
I appreciate it.
I say this whenever we have Johnny on the radio, by the way, WGNradio.com, if you want to listen anywhere in the morning. I've been on every internet site in my spare time. I search every site on the internet, and by far the best travel site, the most comprehensive, JohnnyJet.com.
Well, thank you. So what time, by the way, can people listen to you live?
5 until 9 a.m. Central Time.
Man, you have to get up at 5. What time do you get up? 4?
3:30? He gets up at 3:30.
Wow.
Yeah, that hurts.
He's going to bed as soon as we hang up.
That's what I should do.
It's 6 o'clock there.
I never do. Yeah, I just take a nap during the
So, Marianne, are you on the show?
I'm on the show on Fridays.
Just Fridays, okay.
Fridays, I'm on the show. This time around. I mean, normally.
Same time?
I try to go on as late as possible because I don't want to have to wake up so early. Right. And then, and because I have the Savvy Planet website, and I offer tips, savvy tips. And that's what we talk about. We talk about all the savvy tips that we have.
What's your Instagram?
Savvy.planet. And my most famous Instagram is Havana Girl.
That's one I follow for sure.
G-I-R-L. Yeah.
Havana and Bob, Girl. And Bob, I see that you're getting active on Twitter lately. I don't think you were before. Yeah.
I'm at Bob Sirott, Sirott. Yes, I fool around with Facebook, not so much Instagram, but yeah, I tend to look at Twitter a lot, and I've been tweeting a little bit lately.
And and 3 or 4 times a week, we do we have a Facebook page. It's called Sirott and Murciano. Not so easy to remember, but there we go live. We do Facebook Live. Maybe 2, 3, or 4 times a week, depending on what our schedule is.
Usually after dinner.
After dinner. And then we have these people like, Johnny, you would love this. They are from all over. We have
all over the world.
All over the world. Like, we have regulars from Australia. We have a guy from Scotland. Wow. We have people in Hawaii. We have people in Puerto Rico. We have people in Spain. We have Germany, Italy. I mean, it is unbelievable how these people find us, but they have found us.
How did they find you?
We have no idea.
Okay. Some of the, you know, a lot of the U.S., like there's somebody in Arkansas who pops up occasionally, a transplanted Chicagoan. How the people and then we know a Chicagoan in Mexico who's on there. But as far as Australia and Italy and how they found us,
We have no idea.
Interesting.
Yeah. That,
mysteries of the internet.
You got to love the internet for that reason. I mean, there are some really good things about the internet. So, last thing about Chicago, and then I'll let you guys go and Bob go to sleep. So, you know, Chicago's a lot in the news about, you know, gun violence. So, are you scared walking down the streets of Chicago?
No, never. And you know what? It does get kind of blown out of proportion. Really, there is most of the crime here. And I guess this is pretty much the same and similar in other cities. Most of the crime is concentrated in a very small area of town here. That's where they have huge problems. Don't get me wrong. There's too many guns around. Definitely. And there are problems everywhere. But what you're hearing about on the news, almost always 98%.
South side, right? It's the south side.
It's one area of the south.
You know, let's not forget how crazy things were during, you know, like the Black Lives Matter, you know, movement that was going on all over the country. During that time, there was, you know, it was scary to be downtown.
Yeah,
we had a couple.
There were a couple of nights where even Michigan Avenue got hit and some of the downtown areas got hit.
Same thing with LA. I mean, everywhere, yes. New York City, yes. I mean, every big city.
Right. But that's not a normal thing. But people did get scared about going downtown. And we felt super lucky that we lived in the suburbs and there was none of that here. And then Bob would go downtown to work. But it wasn't like, it was very well patrolled and stuff. But it was during that time when everybody else was suffering from that, too. So it was kind of scary.
So most of the tourist areas, you do not have to worry about any kind of.
Correct.
Right.
Gotcha. Yes, for yeah. sure. And now that things have calmed down again, that is absolutely true.
Okay, good. Well, listen, I appreciate you guys taking the time and follow these guys, subscribe to this channel. And
it's so fun talking to you, Johnny. We always love it.
Well, yes, I love it. We do. Thank you for all the support.
Love you having you on WGN Radio, and we'll talk again there. And hopefully you'll invite us back to the podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
And we love Natalie and your beautiful children.
Well, thank you. You're too kind. Take care.
Happy travels.
Bye.